And he sat down opposite the treasury and watched the people putting money into the offering box. Many rich people put in large sums, and a poor widow came and put in 2 small copper coins, which make a penny. And he called his disciples to him and said to them, "Truly I say to you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the offering box, for they contributed out of their abundance, but she out of her poverty has put in everything she had, all she had to live on." Amen. Verse 41, he sat down opposite the treasury and watched the people putting money into the offering box. Do you know what that verse means? It means God watches his people when they put money in the offering plate. He watches. He sees every dime, every nickel, every penny. He sees every budget of every congregation, and he watches. Your God is not fooled by numbers. Hundreds, even thousands of dollars may seem like a gracious, charitable contribution in the eyes of men. Hey, well done, good job, thanks, pat on the back, we say. God is not fooled. God is not impressed by numbers. We heard it in the gospel lesson this morning. Just 2 measly copper coins can be more in the eyes of God than piles of money when copper coins are given out of faith. God watches his people. And today he sees a widow who has nothing, yet she gives everything. The rich have plenty, and they give large sums. The difference is the rich still have their money to go home to after church. They still have money to fall back on. The widow, she is empty-handed. No husband, no Social Security, no fat checking account. Thus the word of our Lord, I say to you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the offering box, for they contributed out of their abundance, but she out of her poverty has put in everything she had, all she had to live on. God isn't fooled by numbers, and he knows where man puts his trust. He can tell the difference between givers who still rely upon and even hoard their wealth, and those who give, knowing and believing God is their only source of provision and survival. And so they give without fear, even if it's everything, because faith trusts in God. Faith knows God will provide, and faith relies upon God through Christ, knowing since nothing separates us from God's love in Jesus. Why be afraid? Why be afraid? Why cling to idols that only crumble and fade with time? God watches his people. What does he see? He sees humanity sinfully waste the gifts he has placed in our hands. He sees hoarding. He sees greed. He sees our trust in material things. He sees time wasted, his word neglected. He sees people skip church for earthly concerns that are more important than sins forgiven. And he sees our fears. He sees our fears, our doubts, and that nagging, persistent anxiety. All of it God sees. And the worst part of all of it is that there is nothing flesh and blood can do to rescue ourselves from this grip of hell that attempts daily to drag us down into the pit of eternal death. God sees the mess. God sees the mess of his creation. He sees the havoc caused by sin, sin so pervasive, sin so powerful. Humanity is dead without divine assistance. So God does what humanity is incapable of doing, and that is, He gives everything. He gives out of His poverty. He gives out of His lack. He gives everything when He has nothing. What do I mean? I'm referring to the Son of God. I'm referring to Jesus. In Philippians, we hear from God's Word that Jesus emptied Himself when taking on the form of a servant. Jesus empties Himself, taking on the form of a servant. In poverty, He is born to a virgin, confined to a stable. In a world that already has no room for the Lord of glory, even at birth, Jesus humbles Himself, being obedient. How obedient? Obedient unto death upon a cross. The poor, naked, destitute offering for sin. And this is what we hear from Hebrews, the epistle lesson for this morning. He appeared once for all at the end of the ages to put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself. He puts away sin, puts it away by the sacrifice of Himself. Christ gives everything for you, even His flesh, even His blood. He gives out of His poverty, out of His lack. When He hangs by nails, a convicted sinner, humiliated before men, while His blood paints the ground. But your sin is removed because of this. Christ gives everything that your sins are put away. Therefore, one misses the point of Christianity. If from these texts, the conclusion is made that, aha, since God gave everything, we must give everything in the hope that God will reward us for our efforts. That makes Christianity a whole bunch of moralism, a code of ethics that we fulfill in order to catch divine favor. What a drag. The gospel is much better. The gospel is much, much, much infinitely better. The gospel is that good news, saying God has given everything for you. Don't turn it around. God gives everything for you, Christian. He dies in your stead, on your behalf, loving you, rescuing you, pulling you out of the pit of death and despair by giving everything, even His flesh and blood for your redemption, the forgiveness of all of your sin. He pulls you out of the pit and He holds you in His hand. This is your hope. This is your hope that God has saved you, and this is how the baptized believer is to live, trusting in this hope, this promise and gift that the sins that eat you alive and tear your soul apart have been paid for. They are put away by Jesus. That is the gospel. That is good news, what God has done for you. And because of this good news, we need not fear even death. And that takes us to another widow. We heard about this widow in 1 Kings chapter 17. This widow is from Zarephath, which is in a region of Sidon. Even if you don't know where those territories are on a map, that's okay. Because what that does tell us is she is no Jew. She is no Jew. She's a Gentile. And when Elijah goes to her, she is living in a drought upon the land. The land is dried of water, and here comes Elijah, and she is gathering sticks. She is gathering wood that she may cook her last meal, eat of it, and die, her and her son. When Elijah asks for something to eat, I have nothing baked, only a handful of flour in a jar and a little oil in a jug, and now I am gathering a couple of sticks that I may go in and prepare it for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die. That is her plan. That's her plan. We're going to eat, and then we're going to die. And Elijah hears this. And the first words out of his mouth, there is a drought. They have very little food. They are planning on death. It is imminent and near. And what does Elijah say? The very first words out of his mouth, do not fear. Do not fear. Do not fear, because according to God's word, the jar of flour and jug of oil would not be spent. The widow uses up all she has to live on, and she does it according to the word of God. She does what Elijah says and discovers that God does provide according to his word. She believes in God. She receives his prophet. And what these two widows have in common is that though they have nothing, they have faith. They have faith and they act upon faith in God's holy word. Friends, Elijah's word to this widow was God's word. And it is God's word to us. Do not fear. Do not fear. Do not fear your finances. That is never something to be afraid of. Do not fear failing health. That is not something to be afraid of. Do not fear confessing Christ, even though culture does not. Do not fear persecution, because God watches his people. God watches his people. And not only does he watch his people, but he promises to be with his people. He promises to be with his people and to hold his people in his hands. And he promises, too, that your needs, all of them, top to bottom, physical, spiritual, they are always before his throne. He watches. He sees them. You think God doesn't know about your finances? He does. You think God doesn't know about your health? He does. He does. This brings me to my final point. It must not be lost upon us the words from 1 Kings 17. When God's word says the widow was going to eat and die. Eat and die. In one way at least, that is very similar to how the baptized believer lives today. Eating only to die. When we consume the Lord's Supper, after we have received this gift, we sing a particular song, a biblical song that we find in Scripture. This song must never, ever leave the liturgy. It's in Luke chapter 2, and it's called the Nunc Dimittis. It is sung by Simeon, the righteous man, waiting for the consolation and redemption of Israel. He holds Christ, and what does he say? Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to your word. We sing this because after receiving the gift of Christ at this altar, one is prepared for death. One is prepared. One possesses the peace of God. When you have Christ, when you have Christ, a Savior that is yours by God's undying grace through faith, you are very much prepared for death, and you have God's peace. Your sin is put away, O Christian. Your sin is put away. God is watching each and every one of you, and he sees your sin. And as he has seen your sin, he also has done something about it. He sent his son Jesus to give himself that we may have everything. Do not fear. Do not fear. Amen. Now the peace of God, which does surpass all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus from now unto life everlasting. Amen.